So as we enter this time of being invited into a higher and a greater spiritual awareness, one of the most significant events that has happened in our world, we can appreciate the symbology and the teaching that Jesus was bringing to a world that was encased in ideas that were ready to be changed. And so we celebrate Palm Sunday today, and the talk of my title is Pathway of Palms, A Journey into Humbleness. Because we oftentimes misunderstand the meaning of the journey and what Jesus was teaching us. And so historically, if we want to take a look at what was happening in Israel and in the world at that time, we can know that people's lives were very challenged and difficult. And there were several kings and rulers that had come about over time, and people had been moved out with the diaspora, and they had been moved back in, and lifespan was short, and times were hard, and the Jewish belief, the Jewish faith, is what was most prominently remembered, because it was the one that was actually written down. Because we forget that in that time, very few people knew how to read or write. And so the traditions that were brought forward were by midrashic tales, by speaking. And so in this day and age, when we look back on the Bible, or we look back on circumstances, and we want to look at them as factual, because that's how we operate in our world today, we can begin to understand it was so different. And people would make up stories to portray what it was they wanted to talk about. So we can definitely understand that at this time, as Jesus was preparing towards the end of his journey on this earth, because he knew that once he entered Jerusalem, he would be leaving this planet. And he had walked among the people and taught through parables. He taught through stories. People would gather around him, and he would share, and he would heal, and he would bless, and he would bring ideas. So when we take a look at the significance of Palm Sunday and Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, I want us to take a look at it from a little different perspective. But we can understand, first of all, that it was a Greco-Roman tradition to utilize palms or olive branches, or to take the cloak off of your back and to lay it down before someone, a high dignitary. And it was a part of the symbology of the time, that people were used to having a king in charge. That was the ruler. It was the one who took care of things and who either reigned with a sense of peace or a sense of war and overcoming people. And so when a new king or any king would ride into a town, if he rode in on a lowly donkey, it was a symbology of peace. If he rode in on a horse, it was a symbology of going to war, of conquering. So when we can begin to tune into a few of these little details around the circumstances of Jesus' processional into Jerusalem, we can appreciate that people were seeking a king that would bring about peace. And with all the scripture, all the stories that had been foretold that there was a Messiah, and Jesus had been performing miracles and healings and had been speaking, and people wanted to put Jesus upon a pedestal and call him king. But Jesus was teaching something entirely different, and he'd been inviting his disciples into an awareness that was different than an outer world materialistic power. He was inviting them into an awareness beyond the teachings of the Jewish tradition of sacrifice to appease a God, an angry God outside of ourselves. He was teaching them that the presence of God, the living life force and energy, was within them. But can you imagine? Think about living back in that time, what the lifespan was, what lifestyle was like, what people were aware of. And that was a message that kind of was difficult. Jesus was planting seeds and ideas, but it was difficult to shift people. So they still wanted Jesus to be the king. And so they laid down the palms as he entered the city. But what he told the disciples from Matthew 21, 6 through 9, he said that the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. He'd asked them to go to a home outside of Jerusalem and to get a donkey. And he said they brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And so this is where the tradition began of celebrating Palm Sunday and the significance of the palms. On a Palm Sunday, there was a family that was going to go to, they went to church, and their little 8-year-old daughter Anna, she had a cold, a little cough, and so she wasn't able to go with them. So when they came home, they came home and they were waving these palm fronds, and so Annie asked them, he said, "Well, what are the palm fronds for?" And she said, and actually her dad said to her, he said, "People held them over Jesus' head as he rode by on a colt." And she says, "Gosh darn it, wouldn't you know? The one Sunday that I'm sick and have to stay home, Jesus shows up and offers pony rides." So we can appreciate the lightness of laughter and appreciate, though, the celebration of Palm Sunday, which indeed was a triumphal march into Jerusalem, but it was in a different way than most people might have expected. Because Jesus was teaching a message, not of a king who rides on a horse and conquers and takes over. He was teaching a message of peace. He was teaching a message of humbleness by riding upon the lowly donkey and wanting to let people know that inherent within each and every one was this living presence of God that he had been speaking of and teaching about. In Unity's Revealing Word, also in the Metaphysical Bible, it speaks of Jerusalem. It says, Jerusalem represents a habitation of peace. In man, it is the abiding consciousness of spiritual peace. When we go deep into the silent recesses of our beings, we realize a stillness and sweetness beyond expression. So friends, if we are allowing this Palm Sunday, the celebration of the triumphal march into Jerusalem, into the city of peace, to touch our hearts, it is important to begin to open ourselves to an understanding of this greater truth that Jesus was trying to instill. And people wanted to place him on a pedestal, and Jesus was saying no. That when we seek our outer egoic personality, presence, and power, we are missing the entire message. And there's some scripture I'm going to share with you, Kevin, this is not included in the PowerPoint because I added it at the last minute. It's from Luke 15, 41 through 44. It says, "And when he drew near," and this is Jesus, "and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. He wept because his heart, he understood a greater truth. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side. And I'm going to paraphrase a little. It's a long scripture. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you because you did not know the time of your visitation from God. He wept coming into the city because he understood and knew something so different. It was like having this present and this gift and saying, friends, there's a living presence of God in you. And if we continue to seek it in outer materialistic ways and continuing to seek that next new king who will rule over you and have power over you, you will not find the message that I have been teaching and walking this life path for. And that message is a message of humbleness. It's a message of understanding that there is something greater in us than our own external human egoic self. And it doesn't make the ego bad because it's kind of part of the skeleton that helps us to run in our lives. But when it's in the driver's seat, friends, we miss out on the greater depth in our lives. The greater depth of the inspiration and the wisdom that comes from God and not from our intellect. In Psalms 119, 66 through 67, it says, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was humbled, I went astray, but now I keep your word. And the commandments beyond the written word that we sometimes think of in the Bible, the commandments we have talked about before are divine spiritual principles, friends. So believe in divine spiritual principles and know that when we seek things from that outer world and from our egoic minds, we go astray. But when we're willing to be humbled, as Jesus so metaphorically taught us by riding in to Jerusalem on the colt, on the donkey, when we allow ourselves to shift into that place that recognizes a greater beingness, the living presence of God in us, we move to an entirely different place in how we experience our world. And a second quote from scripture in Psalms 147, it says, great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble. And it goes on in Matthew 18:4 to say, therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus was teaching the people as he had been teaching his parables and doing his healing works and riding into Jerusalem, he was teaching them of a different kingdom because they sought the outer kingdom that we were so used to. And he was inviting people into the kingdom of the presence of God that is within them, that is within each and every one. Charles Fillmore in his book Talks on Truth, he says, it is safe to say no one can know the doctrine of Jesus Christ without going direct to him for information. The writings of the New Testament, known as the four Gospels, are the most reliable external guide. Now, of course, these were written a good 50 to 70 years after Jesus died in a community of people where very few people wrote or read. So these stories were compilations of and through the eyes of the writers and a compilation of the best that could be remembered. But the essence of the story were captured, the essence of Jesus' teaching. So Charles Fillmore goes on to say, when these are studied, the Gospels are studied with an unbiased mind. In other words, with a mind that's open to reading them differently. It is perceived that Jesus delegated no ecclesiastical power to anybody. Our churches, though, are founded on an ecclesiastical power outside of us. And he said, Jesus did not delegate that. He did not formulate his doctrine or authorize any other human being to do so. Jesus appointed one teacher. The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, shall teach you all things. The Holy Spirit is the whole Spirit of God and can be known by man only through his spiritual nature. Not his egoic self, but his spiritual nature. So friends, as we are participating in this highly active spiritual time of awakening, of rising up higher, of moving into a greater consciousness, we can begin to truly appreciate the metaphor that Jesus was teaching of humbleness. And sometimes we think of humbleness or humility and we think it has to do with not standing up to or being less than. And true humbleness is about moving into the heart of our being. And not needing to be right in an outer world, but to trust in the living presence of God that is in within each of and every one of us. That is the truth of our being. And it's about learning to listen differently in circumstances in our lives and to be aware. I tell you, a big clue for me is when I get reactive. Do any of you get reactive? Somebody says something and you're like, whoa. I didn't think so. I know Melanie doesn't, but you know, most of us do. And when we stop for just a moment to think about this metaphor that Jesus was teaching us about humbleness, Jesus was saying, the kingdom is within you. It is not I. And when he said, you will come to the Father through me, it wasn't him personally, because his idea to be a savior was not to die to save us from sins. In unity, we understand to be a savior was his recognition of teaching us the difference, the capacity that we have to shift the focus of our thoughts and our beingness from our outer world, our reactiveness, our egoic hurts and issues, and shifting into a place where we recognize that we are moved beyond error thinking. That is the Savior. That is the message of saving that Jesus came here to teach. So if we look at this triumphal ride into Jerusalem with Jesus knowing and understanding that he was coming in to celebrate the Jewish Passover, but that it would be his last time of being with his disciples and celebrating. And it was one last way of teaching a different way. So when we start to take a look at all the ways we're reactive, we want to take a look at what our ego is all about, right? So when we say we're humble, and we say we have humbleness or humility, does it mean that we don't have pride? Well, think about it. Just, there's two kinds of pride, aren't there? There's the pride of the egoic pride. Well, look at what I did and nobody else helped me and I'm, you know, there's this place in our ego oftentimes that needs to be elevated above others in order to be okay. We do it subtly in a lot of different ways. Who has the fastest car? Who has the biggest house? Who has the most money? He with the most toys when he dies wins. What is that one? I can't even remember. It's like, ooh, but you can't take him with you. So we begin to say, let's see the difference. Let's understand the difference in the pride that comes from the core of our being. That's the truth of who we are. So that in circumstances, when we get triggered by someone who says something to us, makes us feel less than. Or we're triggered by someone in our family or in the workplace. And the instant thing is go, right? Because we're protecting something. What we're protecting is that place that doesn't feel good enough. So we have to come up and out and exert this power over this way, which is what metaphorically the kingdoms at that time were. The kings exerted power over. Jesus said, let's be the power from within. And so when we're taking a look at the difference in pride and in our reactivity and in our egoic being, we can see that as we stand in the truth, we stand in the commandments that are God, that are divine principles, as we stand in the light of love, in the truth of our being, as we are humble, as we are open to saying, I'm not always right. I'm usually right, huh, Melanie? Yeah. But I'm not always right. No, it's like just being open to see possibilities differently. And there is a different pride that we can come from that's the pride of the core of our being that shines like a light out in our world, friends. And it makes such a difference. Because when everybody is standing up to be so tall from their egoic self, we just run into blockades. And that's what creates the separations and the wars that we're experiencing, the challenges in our world. And when we are willing to be humble, as Jesus taught us through his march into Jerusalem, when we are willing to be humble enough to stop and move past the egoic mind belief system into a connection to the presence of God, to breathe into that, we will be lights in this world. From Psalms 25, 8 through 10, it says, good and upright is the Lord. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant. Good and upright is the Lord. He leads the humble in what is right. How difficult would it be to be led on a path of greater awareness with your feet stuck in, you know, like this. And when the ego's driving the car, you know, it's kind of hard for the car to journey in a different direction. So it's like getting the ego out of the driver's seat, letting the ego do what it is good because we need that to function in our world, yet understanding that the presence and the living wisdom and the grace and the goodness of God resides in the driver's seat of our being. Gary Zukav, many of you know, Seat of the Soul and some of his books, he says, the one characteristic of authentic power that most people overlook is humbleness. A humble person walks in a friendly world. His or her perception goes beyond the shell of appearance and into essence. And Thomas Kempis, way back from, he was a medieval period Christian author, he says, an humble knowledge of thyself is a surer way to God than a deep search after learning. Now, does that put learning down? No. It's wonderful to read and to explore and to learn new things. But it's saying, first and foremost, friends, go to the core of your being. Go to source, go to God. So as we prepare ourselves in this week to be opening to something new and different, to allow ourselves to rise into a higher Christ consciousness. Let us remember this message and this metaphor. Jerusalem represents that city of peace, and we find peace when we open our hearts to that inner Christ presence that Jesus exemplified. True humbleness is living from inner Christ consciousness versus ego. True humbleness. It's living from that inner Christ and engaging when we get triggered by other people or circumstances or belief systems that have been around for a long time and saying, wait a minute, I will choose instead not to ride in on that horse, the kingly, you know, overpowering presence. I will ride in on the lowly colt that signifies my willingness to be open to the flow of that presence of God or that higher awareness in me that will allow me to respond rather than react, that will teach me new ways of being, that will fill me with inspiration, and that will move me forward so that I am operating not from my egoic self, but from my humble, true, inner Christ consciousness self. And that is the difference in the pride that we take, whether it is from outer circumstances or from the core of our being when we stand illuminated in the light of God. So as you move forward this week, begin noticing. You feel the difference, don't you? You know, don't you notice it when you shift? Because when you're not at peace within yourself, it's a big clue. Now, peace doesn't mean everything is perfect around you, but there is a sense of peace that comes with oneness. And that is what entering into the city of Jerusalem means. Ellen G. White, who was an American Christian pioneer, she said, the life of Christ was a life of humble simplicity. Yet how infinitely exalted was his mission. Christ is our example in all things. Let's allow that example to carry us forward to be all that we can be. And I will leave you with a quote from actually two people. Tempit Ope Ibrahim said, humility is never about being small, unseen, or unnoticed. Humility is really about expressing all the wonder you are in a way that all people see as the awesomeness and greatness of God. Isn't that amazing? And Confucius says, wherever you go, go with all your heart. Friends, embrace this week from the heart of your being in that place that humbly is grateful for the living Christ consciousness inherent in us all.